think this is also what this film is known for. It's known for like its one-liners that have just stuck with people for so long.
See, that is interesting to that in itself is interesting to me, because I watched this film yesterday and I barely remember a single line of dialogue. Like it's very funny to me that everything I've like read about it since has been that, like, yeah, this is like a real kind of real sort of, this is a real dialogue film. This is like a real lines film. I don't remember a word of it.
Has no one ever like repeated lines at the social network, or like have they and you just haven't been able to recognize them? Right.
Well, I mean, I don't know the answer to that, obviously.
You know, so there's that infamous line, but like lots of tech bros like that still repeat because they don't understand the film, where Mark Zuckerberg is looking out of the window when he's asked, like, are you paying attention to me? And he's like, he does that monologue about how like he's paying the bare minimum amount of attention because he's too busy thinking about all the cool things that are happening on Facebook. And then like
So is this, sorry, this is supposed to be one of its like quotable lines?
Yeah, and I don't remember what the quotable line is. I've got a page on Rotten Tomatoes at the moment.
I mean, it's not exactly "Forget it, Jake, it's Chinatown," is it? I mean, that's not.
I mean, there are lines. There's one line where it's just like the lawyer who's played by Rashida Jones says, like, you must really hate the Winklevosses. And Mark Zuckerberg, played by Jesse Eisenberg, says, I don't hate anybody. The Winklevi aren't suing me for intellectual property theft. They're suing me because for the first time in their lives, things didn't work out the way that they were supposed to for them. We'll get some other lines. Yeah, we'll get some other lines like when we start like talking about the film a bit more. But as someone who did only watch the film yesterday, I wanted to how did you find it? Like, what were your kind of immediate takes from it?
Okay. Here are my, like, because this is the thing. Like, I don't remember a single line of dialogue. What I took from it was, they're suing me because for once something didn't work out how they wanted it to. Like, that's not even, like, a new observation in film. Like, no. Like Wes Anderson writes more perspicacious lines about the entitlement of rich teenagers, and that's saying something, I think. What I got from it is it's a general vibe. It was a very vibes not lines
right.
film
yeah.
to me, and. One of the big things, one big takeaways from it is like how hysterically funny I find shorthand, like Hollywood shorthand for hyper intelligence. I find that the funniest fucking thing in the world. Like, it's up there with like my actual favorite thing, which is in Hollywood films, if they want to show that a girl is like smart, and a little bit edgy, a little bit different, they give her comically large versions of famous novels to read in like a scene.
Right.
And once you've noticed this, you can't unsee it. In the first Spider-Man reboot, like one of the many Spider-Man reboots, when they're wanting to indicate that the Zendaya Mary Jane is like super, super smart, they have her reading instead of participating in a gym class because, you know, bitches be reading.
It's the bimbification meme, like in like personified, right?
Yeah, but like backwards. Yeah, it's the backwards bimbification meme. It's like flipped. It's like the Hebrew script version of bimbification. And it has Mary Jane, played by Zendaya, reading in the gym, and she is reading this absolutely fucking giant copy of Human Bondage. And what? it is the size of an atlas. it is so, so funny. And if I remember correctly, Of Human Bondage is quite short. It's not like a kind of big bastard book, I don't think. Yeah. Michael, I could be wrong, but it's not like a novella or anything. I know, maybe it is quite big. I'm not sure. Anyway, the point is that it's not that it looks like it's a big thick volume. It's that the actual size of the cover is just like she has to have it propped open on her knee, like a small child having a picture book read to her, except it's fucking of Human Bondage. And that is just incredible. And they do a similar thing in The Social Network to indicate smartness. As far as the Hollywood brain is concerned, smartness is mainly channeled through the medium of whiteboards, of like whiteboards and marker pens. Nobody is clever unless they're constantly like writing stuff down on whiteboards. And they do this with, you know, that the one where they have, what's his face?
Yeah.
What's his name? Freckly, posh, inside out face, like he's been trapped in a wind tunnel.
That could describe a lot of people.
But like he wins Oscars for having an inside out face. And it's him doing a not entirely unoffensive impression of a profoundly disabled man. What's his name?
Wait, is this the guy in The Social Network, or is this someone else?
No, this is a different film. But that uses the whiteboard and marker.
I mean, all I can think of is like House, Hugh Laurie. But I don't think that Hugh Laurie is the person you were talking about.
Yeah, okay, fine. No, you know what? No, that's not who I mean. That's not who I mean.
He uses a whiteboard and a marker. I don't understand who else you're talking about. Yeah,
basically, if you're on screen and you're super smart, you've got a whiteboard and you've got a marker, you're bouncing your marker on your palm and you're writing your little ideas down on your big whiteboard. Because in the Hollywood brain, because everything has to be kind of sort of weirdly sized, because everything is for babies. So everything has to be either very, very small or very, very big. So if you're a clever girl, you read the very big book. And if you're a clever boy, instead of writing things down in a notebook or like on your phone, like what everyone else does, you've got to write on a big notebook with your big pen.
Right.
So that's what being clever is in Hollywood. And yeah, and he keeps coming up with stuff like, and it's got a real, and I assume this is part of the like the specific cultural context and atmosphere in which this film was made and written. It's in a very Mad Men kind of way. So one of the bits where he has like one of his ideas is when his friend says, so I met this girl at a party. Like, you don't know if she has a boyfriend, right?
Yeah. And he goes, yeah.
Relationship statuses. And it's like, what you couldn't have worked that out on your own. They have relationship statuses on MySpace. Like this is not something which you had to come up with in a Don Draper with his marker pen. And right.
Especially because the whole film, like the film starts, and this is a good place maybe to actually start going through the film. The film starts with him and, a woman called Erica Albright. By the way, like this isn't like, there have been lots of kind of essays about how authentic The Social Network is and isn't. Erica Albright didn't exist as sort of like a composite character, of which like Mark Zuckerberg has not sort of elaborated on since for like quite obvious reasons. Erica Albright is played by Rooney Mara. And in this scene...
That's who that was. Yeah. I was trying to think of who that was.
Okay. And Rooney Mara like is kind of a staple of David Fincher films, so like it sort of makes sense. So they're in this kind of like dark, in the first scene as the film opens, they're in this like dark bar. Mark Zuckerberg is talking to Erica Albright, having multiple conversations, something about the SATs and how like in China there's like, you know, people are getting kind of like really, really good grades on essays or something along those lines. But he's sort of like interspersing that with his desire to go to finals clubs. Finals clubs being these like elite clubs that are invite only if you go to an Ivy League university like Harvard, etc. They have these like sorts of weird conversations in which like Mark Zuckerberg gets like irritated by a fictionalized idea of like a rower. And he gets really mad about it. Very much the whole like inventing a guy in your head to get mad about. But he's having like these, you know, and the film is just trying to show that, oh, this is a guy with such like an erratic brain and someone who's thinking so fast that no normal person, especially a person who doesn't go to Harvard but goes to like Boston University, can like keep up with.